You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
All right, so we're in the car. It's me, John Corrales of Mass Live, joined by my Mass Live partner on the beat, Tom Westerholm, and Brian Robb of the Boston Sports Journal. We're all in a car at almost two in the morning West Coast time. So this is almost 5 a.m. for us. This is how bad this trip has been.
Why'd you say that, John? I didn't even know that information.
Yeah. I feel 10 times worse now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Two of the three of us have lost luggage. Shouts to B-Rob for making it out unscathed. So we're doing a podcast in the car. So you hear background noise and all this crap, whatever. So let's talk about this Kyrie stuff. What we're going to do, I'm going to play the entire thing. You're going to listen to all of the Kyrie interview, and then we're going to react to it. So let's just do this. Listen to what Kyrie said at practice in San Francisco. This kind of switch in attitude, whatever. I'm going to play it now. We're going to react on the other side.
Just talking about how he views this trip as a positive for you guys, that you're going to be together and it's a difference than ones in the past.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that and just spending more time together on the road and at this juncture of the season and how that's going
to help? I mean, it's important. It gives us a chance to really go against a great team. Build some pride around the road. We're going to need it down the stretch. So, obviously, it was pretty rough at home being there, just going through the losses at the All-Star break and not hitting the ground running like we would have liked, but, that happens in the season. And, someone once told me that inspiration comes from the mountaintops and maturity comes from the valley. And, it's been pretty ugly at times, but I think that, just great seasons or great things that happen have come from a lot of just down and out times and, guys being tried, and especially in a team environment, it's not the easiest thing. So, it's been a learning experience, but we're excited. We're excited to be going against these great teams and really be on the road with each other.
That quote you just mentioned, do you talk about that to the team?
It's more or less just a choice we all got to make. I mean, coming out of All-Star break, it wasn't like the best type of energy that I'm pretty sure we all came back with that would have been great for the team. I think it would have been great individually if you were going for, still yours and stuff like that. Like I said, it's hard in the team environment, especially when you got guys, we got six legit guys that could be primary options on other teams. And when you have that and you're trying to figure that out, it's not going to be the best. So, I try to stay patient and all that and not try to get too high or too low with it. Obviously, I get annoyed pretty quickly. So, yeah. It's a lot. It's all part of it. So, it's all part of it.
What about you reaching to yourself, Kyrie, to kind of get out of the irritable state that a lot of us get into, right?
Yeah.
Things are going to go the opposite way, too.
By just realizing that, it's not as bad as you make it seem. Everyone's not at odds with you all the time. And, you just get back to the root of what, kind of makes you tick and why you love the game of basketball. I said it before, but I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, be famous, be a celebrity, whatever embodies that. So it's a little hard for me. I wanted those things when I was younger, but now at this point in my career, I just want to play basketball at a very, very high level. And, the distractions that come within the team sometimes can get overwhelming. And I'm human, so and I just try not to let it seep into my teammates, and that's the most important thing, is just, set an example for these young guys. And I don't even want to call them young guys, but it's my teammates. They really have a great passion for the game of basketball, and they've shown that they can play at a high level. Now it's just getting there on a consistent level.
Kyrie,
I get tired of all this stuff, just like everybody else. So I mean, I said it's a constant battle, you know, because media has just gotten just outrageous. You know what I mean? Like, I just saw some the other day where, you know, even, you know, because I mean, it's just, he's the greatest player playing our game right now. But even seeing somebody question like Bron's body of work, like my body of work, KD's body of work, and you know, the team's success falls on the best player. And whether call it fair or unfair, but nobody should ever question what type of winner those guys are. You know what I mean? What type of winner I am, or whether or not I have the team in first mentality. You know, it's like nobody wants it to be solely about them, but we take most of the responsibility, and so does the head coach. So when you have that, and you have a relationship that you have to build with that, and I've been doing it, being traded last year and just coming into this, it's a lot of new for our team. And, you know, we're still building for something, so... it gets to that point, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, it just gets to that point. I'm normal, so.
How does that impact players?
It makes players very unhappy. Very unhappy, I tell you that. I think someone told me that Adam Silver was talking the other day about how unhappy NBA players are, you know, especially nowadays, because of just the scrutiny, exploitation that we go through of, you know, everything being judged or, you know, someone being, you know, a very high stature, and people are just still throwing stones at him, just trying to break him and break him and break him and break him. And words are very powerful. And, you know, I don't want to disconnect from any other person that would take anything personal, you know, because I'm still that person as well. You know, I don't try to read any more of that. I'm disconnecting completely from that social media hub, like I said before, which has helped me. But at the same time, it's what makes me great as well. It's really just coming to work every single day and doing my job at a very high level and putting on a show for the people. You know, I'm an entertainer out there, but I'm a winner first and foremost. Like, when I used to be in my backyard playing one-on-one with my dad, like, that was what was instilled in me, was that winning mentality. And when he taught me how to be in a team, that was the same thing. So, you know, it's just part of growing in this business and understanding how to find a balance between the work environment and your personal life. You know, so.
Is this one of the more difficult seasons you've dealt with, just with all the elements, to the outside elements, the inside elements?
I wouldn't say the most difficult. I just think that it's been challenging in different aspects. You know, most importantly, just where I am in my career. You know, like I said, my body of work coming up to 8 years is, you know, it's set in stone. Like, you can go back and like, review it, you know what I mean? And when you come into, you know, in a situation where, you know, you're heading into free agency, you have to answer every single question about the team, you have to answer about the mood, the attitude, and, you know, I got away with doing that for so many years of, you know, being angry and not really being questioned about or anything like that. It's just like, what's wrong with him? And it's like, it gets overwhelming at times just from, you know, you have high expectations, you want it all right now, and you have a particular level that I've been at for a long time since I was a kid. I was blessed with a lot of talent, and to be able to share that would be beneficial for the group, you know, rather than thinking like I just have to compete with everyone else to be the best. Like, no, I am. So it's not really like that component. It's like, what is going to drive this team? What am I going to do to get the best out of my teammates? So that's the thing that, you know, it's an evolving job every single day. But it starts with my relationship with Brad. You know, us being on the same page. You know, he takes responsibility for our losses and wins, and I take responsibility for our losses and wins, and we share it amongst everyone else because we all have a great hand in making us work. So, team is just—it's a hard thing to put together.
Are you and Brad as closer than you were, let's say, last year? Relationship.
Well, we have a year in together, so I would hope after a year that we would be a lot closer. But also, he's never coached any player like me, so you know, it's like if you think about Brad's years, like of having just an established, you know, player where, you know, I'm coming from a situation where I was on the number one team competing against Brad, and now I'm on his team, and now he's putting me in his system. So it's like that's a big transition for anyone to do, and. I think that a lot of NBA players that don't, you know, realize how hard it is just to get traded or ask for a trade. That was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my career because I had to talk to management. I had to go through the whole process, and it's a hard thing to do to move forward from that. I had to pick my family up and make a transition, and I'm doing the best I can with the group I'm afforded because they're really good guys, and they show me what they're capable of winning at high levels.
Thank you,
Kyrie. Appreciate it, Kyrie.
Okay, boys, change in tone from Kyrie Irving, who the past, I don't know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, has been terse, two-word answers, quick answers. Now all of a sudden he's, conciliatory? Is that the word?
That's probably a reasonable word for it, yeah.
Kind of apologetic? Not apologetic.
Definitely not that.
did not apologize, though.
Kyrie Irving is never going to be apologetic.
No. Okay. So Tom, why don't you start? What's your just general takeaway from Kyrie?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people, we were talking about this right before we started recording. A lot of people, when I tweeted out the quote about how he doesn't really, like, he's not here for all, like, the cameras and all that other stuff. Basically, every human being on Earth made the same Uncle Drew joke, which was just like, ah, look at this guy. He's making movies. He signed up to do another one. He's doing this, like, haunted hotel movie. Like, yeah, you don't like cameras, Kyrie. Like, everybody was trying to dunk on him for that. And I don't know that that is, like, it was funny for sure. But, like, I don't know that that's totally fair. I think that, like, that's a separate thing. Like, it's one thing to, like, want to be creative and want to get in front of a camera and want to, like, you know, like, act as Uncle Drew or whatever it might be. It's another thing to have cameras in your face all the time. There's a big difference between choosing to be on camera and just being on camera because you're you. And I think I kind of understand his point there. And, you know, when he said, like, you know, this is something I thought I wanted when I was a kid. When I was younger, now I kind of realize that I don't want it. I mean, yeah, like, that makes sense to me. Like, you know, your dream job, your dream whatever is always going to be a little different than you think it's going to be. So I have no issue with any of that. I thought honestly it was kind of relatable on his part. So I thought that was interesting. And then plenty of other stuff to react to, too. But that was the thing that really seemed to generate kind of the most attention was him, you know, saying that and everybody jumping on the opportunity to get their Twitter jokes off about it.
Yeah, I think that was fair. I think that's a fair assessment. B-Rob, what do you think?
I agree with what Tom said there. With all that said, bad timing, Kyrie. Like, really bad time. Like, you don't say anything for a couple weeks, and then you make, you know, you can see that part of the argument that Tom laid out, which I agree with, that was probably his intention, but with all the stuff that's happened in the last month, and then you're complaining about, you know, cameras in your face, like, which you've had for, you know, 8 years of your career, like, it's just, it's not a good look right now. And again, that's kind of the story of his season, at least off the floor anyway, just like, he tries to do something, and it just doesn't come out the way he wants it to, or he's, you know, calling people out when he shouldn't be, or he's, you know, making ridiculous, you know, turnovers or whatever on the floor and just looking lethargic for the last few weeks. It's been a bit of everything, John, and this just adds to the list, I felt like.
Okay. And I will also say, too, your comment earlier about him, like, apologizing, which I joked that he would never do. He definitely didn't apologize, but I did think it was interesting that he said, like, you know, I don't want to call them the young guys, like, they're my teammates. Like, he's clearly heard the noise that everybody's made about, like, all right, man, like, the young guys is, like, you know, it's sort of not a put down, but sort of minimizing these guys.
Like, separates them. It creates like a class.
Yeah.
In the locker room.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting, but I think B-Rob's exactly right that it is kind of just like a bad look given all of the just all of the wild sort of swings back and forth that we've gotten from him recently and just how terse he has been over the last couple of weeks.
Well, I mean, and to be fair, he did start with the whole team thing. Like, he was asked about the team, and he was asked about the road trip. I mean, he did steer it in the, you know, after, like, this was the second question where he's like, you know, trying not to get too high, not to get too low, but I do get annoyed pretty easily. And then that was the opening to start the questions, like, hey, yeah. And, like, we're all in the locker room. I think that's the question. Like, I think three of the questions that were asked were, like, questions that we've wanted to ask. But just for people listening, like, a post-game where he's getting, like, two-word answers, it's not, it didn't, it never felt like the right time to be like, hey, what's up your ass?
Yeah.
It's a shoot around, a practice is a much easier, calmer time where the pressure's off. There's no pregame or postgame routine or whatever the emotions of a game. Like, I think that was the appropriate setting. The thing is, we haven't had that opportunity to ask that question. So that opening came up, and I feel like a lot of people were like, yes, yes, I'm glad you brought that up. I do think, like, Kyrie is a different kind of person. He's different. And I do think he's trying, but at the same time, he's also supremely confident in his own abilities. He recognizes his stature. He's not shy about putting himself in the same conversation as LeBron and Kevin Durant. Is he at that level? Is he in that same conversation?
As those guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't say as
no,
those
guys. I wouldn't say so either, right?
I mean, he's
in the next tier.
He's top 10, probably. He's in that conversation for sure. But yeah,
he's not, he's not LeBron, KD, Steph.
Yeah.
He's with the next crew, which is a still awesome crew, but like, you know, but
he's in that crew when he's engaged too.
True.
And he has not been that guy for the last month, I would say. He's had a great year overall. He was there for the first half of the season, but the last month, the numbers have been emptier, and the defense has been.
Defense has been bad. Which was the thing that we were like really lauding him for at the beginning of the season. Like, wow, man, look at him trying on defense.
Yeah.
And when he doesn't try, that's like the Kyrie that we saw against Houston was the type of player that I was afraid of. So when I was opposed originally to the Kyrie trade, thinking that Isaiah Thomas would eventually heal and come back and be what he was with Boston, when people are like comparing the defense, like the defense that we saw for the most part against Houston was all very bad. And that's the type of defense where I was like, at least Isaiah Thomas has an excuse. Like, Kyrie has no excuse. And I just wonder, like, what prompted this? Like, all of a sudden, he just changed moods. Like, he's like, yeah, you know what? I've been annoyed, and I'm human, and things wear on me. I agree. Very relatable. Like, it's hard. Like, that part's hard. And I think, B-Rob, you got a point. But at the same time, he's a 26-year-old guy who is just growing up. Like, he's 26.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you act when you're 26. You just don't know. There's certain shit you just don't know.
Yeah, I think when you ask, like, okay, so what changed? I think one possibility is, I mean, we all kind of talked about this. This road trip here might be kind of a last gasp of what has been just a tremendously disappointing regular season. And, you know, maybe he's looking at this road trip and saying, like, all right, let me give this thing, let me, like, really try to be on my best behavior. I'm going to really, like, you know, I'm going to answer questions. I'm going to, like, you know, I'm just going to be absolutely on, like, the top of my game in terms of, you know, being engaged, being, like a good team player, good sport, whatever it might be. You know, maybe that's part of his consideration. Maybe he's thinking to himself, like, all right, like, if we're going to salvage this regular season, obviously, you know, he's focused on the playoffs, but if we're going to salvage this regular season, maybe this is the chance to do that. Maybe that, you know, you rattle off 3 out of 4 on this road trip, things are looking a lot different, especially if one of those is you know, what is it going to be today, whenever you post this? Today's game against the Warriors. So I think, you know, that might be one of the things that's changed. It's just him kind of looking at, you know, what these 4 games mean to the team and him saying, like, all right, everything that I can do, like I'm going to try to not be like a distraction. I'm going to, you know, praise the young guys, or at least, like, you know, or not even praise, but I'm going to call the young guys my teammates. I'm going to try to not put any distractions out there for the next little while. I mean, I think that's plausible.
Well, yeah, I'm just like interested in the language that he's using, where he talks about the human side. What was it that he said? Damn it! I'm just drawing. I had it in my head. I'm drawing a blank.
The mountaintops and valley line.
No, that one was fine. That was more on a team thing.
it's 2 o'clock in the morning here.
Yeah.
Everybody wondering.
2 o'clock. Yeah. This is 5 a.m. on 6 hours of sleep. But he was. I don't know. He talked about. Oh. Where he said, "Not everyone's against you. Like it's not as bad as you think." Like, that line there tells me that he's in his own head about the media scrutiny, the media coverage, all of the questions and the time where he exploded, for lack of a better term, at Bullpet for bringing up the question about that video of him and Durant. Like, that line kind of tells on himself a little bit, saying, like, he has been thinking that people are against him, that people are at odds with him.
I found the line, John, if you want it.
Yeah, please.
Quote, "Just realizing it's not as bad as you make it seem. Everyone is not at odds with you all the time. You know, just get back to the root of what makes you tick and why you love the game of basketball."
That's the line.
See, that's interesting, because what I took from that line was him saying, like to himself and to his teammates about each other, like,
yeah,
you know, not everybody is... like, you know, not he, like, maybe, I don't know, just as an example, not saying that these guys have been at odds or anything, but, like, you know, maybe Jalen feels like, you know, Marcus Morris has been, you know, like, on him or something like that. And, you know, I kind of took it as, like, not everything is as bad as you think it is. Not, like, we're not all against each other, you know, sort of a team unity thing. So that's kind of where I came at it from on that particular quote.
Do you still have the transcript up there?
Yeah, I have.
So, but the previous question then was about his own personal stuff, right?
Yeah, so he talked a little bit before that about, like, the free agency stuff and how, you know, I can read the quote. He was like, "When you come into a situation when you're heading into free agency, you have to answer every single question about the team. You have to answer about the mood, the attitude. I got a way of doing that for so many years, like being angry and not really being questioned about anything like that, just like, quote, what's wrong with him?" And it's like, just gets overwhelming at times, just from, you know, you have to have high expectations, you want it all right now.
I like trying to read the stream of consciousness Kyrie quotes. But no, see, now he's talking about himself there. So that's why I think the follow-up question, which I couldn't hear the follow-up question, but the follow-up question I think was to him about himself, and that he was saying that it's not about people are at odds with you and everything. So I took that as he felt like things were being taken personally, because later on he talks about him and KD and LeBron, mm-hmm, and people build him up and try to break you and break you and break you. Like, him versus the media has been a running theme throughout this entire season, especially since like the I called LeBron post Toronto in January. To me, that's the flashpoint with Kyrie. He came out and said, "I called LeBron," and thought he was being like big. He was being a big guy about it, like, "Hey, look, I'm growing, I'm maturing, I'm mature enough to call LeBron," and that blew up in his face, and all the talking heads lost their minds. And then ever since then, I as far as I can remember, ever since then, he's been different with the media. And I think since then, piecing together what he said here, he thinks that people have been attacking him personally, and he's taken it personally.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, like, he's had a lot of missteps this year, I feel like, with the media.
Sure.
And it's not just, like, the stuff you mentioned, Jonathan LeBron, but even before that, like, you know, he's had a short fuse with, or not a short fuse, but he's called out guys on the team.
Right.
And publicly, and then he,
you know, did a mea couple for that, but like...
But the LeBron thing, it was an actual direct response to that.
Exactly. And then that didn't come out. Like, he thought hopefully that would take care of it, and then that was taken. Some people took that as another shot at the young guys, being like, oh, what is he... So is he comparing, saying, like, he's calling his teammates, like, you know, young, clueless guys like he was back then? Like, you know, so everything he's trying to do, I feel like, I believe he has good intentions for them, or for a lot of it, but it's all kind of blown up in his face at one point or another, and that's hard, and that's, and so you can see why in his head he kind of could get an axe to grind there, and yeah, it's just like, it's just another chapter of, like, you know, it's chapter X of the tumultuous Celtics season right now.
Yeah.
The plight of Kyrie.
It's a wild story. You know, I think really the killer is, I believe that Kyrie has a point. Like, I don't think he's wrong. He's not saying it the right way. He's probably shouldn't have been saying it as much as he has in the media. Say it once, fine. And he almost, I think, went down that same road with this thing, too. Because he started to say it, and then he kind of like said, yeah, we've got six guys who could be primary scorers or primary options on other teams. And he, again, talked about how hard that is. Like, another aspect of this press conference, let's just shift away from Kyrie everything.
Well, before you do that, just a quick side note. I would be fascinated to know exactly which six teammates he was talking about.
Well, yeah, he says six of us.
He's talking about himself, Tatum.
Yep. Jalen.
I assume he's talking about Gordo.
Yep.
Jalen. And then is he talking about, like, who Al. After that? Al? Yep.
Al and Mook.
Is he talking about Mook?
I think he's talking about Mook.
Listen, man, I enjoyed Mook's 50-40-90 starts the season as much as anybody, but a team where Mook is the primary offensive option is has got some problems.
He's the best shooter in the league.
I mean, he
knows that for a fact.
He was for a while, but anyway, yeah. I'd be fascinated to know which six teammates Kyrie was referring to there.
Yeah. Bane should be on the list based on the importance of
this team. but yeah, he shifted, like, he was talking about the team going back to, like, that and how hard it's been, like, how hard it's been to integrate everybody. And it's still hard to integrate everybody. He brought up Brad Stevens and being on the same page with Brad Stevens. I don't think he's been wrong about what has been plaguing the Celtics. And even when he said in the we came out of the break with not the right attitudes and said, like, we came out with great attitudes for, like, our own individual selves, basically saying what we've all talked about, that they came out of the All-Star break and everybody was back at square one going for their own shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like everybody went home. Everybody's friends talked them up, like, you're the greatest player out there. You should go out there and go for yours. And we went right back to the beginning of the season, square one. Everybody was kind of going for their own individual play, and that's why we had the same problems over these first six post All-Star break games as we had in the first, that big 10-10 opening to the season. It's a lot of the same shit.
There was some of it. I would also say, too, just, like, when you look at... If you just kind of take it, like, game-by-game basis, right? Like, okay, Milwaukee, they very close, almost, you know, probably could have won that game against the team that's been the best team in the NBA. Then the next game was Chicago, kind of a trap game. Anybody could have seen that was going to be a trap game. Yeah, it was, like, a brutal performance, but, you know, like, everybody throws a clunker every once in a while. And, like... But that game, I mean, we know that this team sort of, like, this team really goes against Brad Stevens, don't get too high, don't get too low. They get too low, and they get too high. Like, they just, that is, like, in their DNA. So, you know, like, maybe guys went home, maybe guys have been more selfish, but I think, and you know, the offense would bear some of that out. But I also kind of think, like, you know, these guys really do kind of get into ruts. Like, they get into their own head. They do feel like everybody's against them. And, like, I kind of think that might be the case as well, where they came out of the break, you know, they lost the first game, they got hit with that trap game, and then after that, it's just been, like, sort of scratching and clawing just to like just to get any kind of traction again.
Yeah, it's I agree with a lot of what Tom said there. It's the offense. They've had the worst offense in the league since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. It's a lot of guys that are getting to a rut at the same time. Like, Marcus Morris has come back to earth very hard.
To the point that you almost are like, okay, that's going to normalize back up again.
Right. Yeah. And that's what Brad Stevens is counting on. And
it sure is.
It's really like, it's going to be, this is the ultimate test for Brad Stevens right now, because he's all in. And I don't think he's going to make any huge shit. I mean, the guys are going to keep playing. He's stuck with Terry Rozier through thick and thin. He's obviously sticking with Mook. And at this point now, it doesn't really matter for the regular season, because it all comes down to the playoffs, because they're nothing 3, 4, 5. It's not going to matter where they land anyway if they're not playing well. So we'll see if
it's not going to matter if they are playing well, because if they're playing well, they can beat any of these teams.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. Like, you need to be playing well, and if you aren't playing well, you're going to come out of any of those slots. So yeah, this is, I mean, I'm one for, like, why not throw some other random stuff out there in the meantime to try to get home court advantage? But if that comes at the cost of damaging the guy's psyche, then he probably just is going away from it, I feel like.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, Brad's all in, and the greatest chance the Celtics have to turn things around, still, even after all of this, even as bad as they look, and as many people are saying, why are you still talking about this? They're going to lose in the first round. Why do you even bother entertaining this thought? Because there is still the possibility that these guys find something, and their best chance to find it is to simply become fully engaged and play like they play in the fourth quarter against Houston versus how they played in the second quarter against Houston.
Well, and it's kind of like what Brad was saying after the last game, which was just like, everybody's just got to play better. Like, it's really simple. Like,
it is.
You know, like, he brought up, he said Danny has a couple of times now said that we're coming up on a thing here. We're driving through California, and I don't know. What is that? What is a fast?
I think you got the toll thing here.
Oh, a fast track.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Fast lane.
Yeah, just go through it. All right. Go through it. Yeah, it's fine.
All right. That was uncomfortable. All right. But anyway, the last game, I thought it was really interesting that, you know, Brad brought up what Danny Ainge had said about, like, when the Celtics have 5 or 6 guys playing well at the same time, they're really tough to stop. They're just, like, a really tough team to beat. And that's all they need. Like, you know, they just need guys to play well, because they've got the talent. They've got more than enough talent. They just need enough guys all playing well at the same time to make that work. I mean, who was playing well against Houston? Jalen, I mean, Kyrie sort of, but a lot of his numbers were kind of empty calories.
Al's been good.
Al's been really good.
But yeah.
So that's like,
when's the last time they had 6 guys playing well, Tom, do you think? Like, consistently.
Yeah, I mean,
the last Golden State game. The last time they did was the last Golden State game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's even their wins post All-Star break, they definitely have not had that. Like, the Washington win, no. I mean, even the Portland loss where everybody was, like, quote, encouraged, like, no.
I don't think they played that well.
No.
Brad Stevens, I think, in that post-game press conference after Portland, forced himself to say the right things.
Yeah,
but
he wanted to talk up his guys.
Yeah, I felt like he wanted to be like, that sucked, and I have to be, whoa, watch out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's very simple.
Do you guys think they all can play well together, though? Like, we're 60 games into the year.
I think that's a really good
question. It's happened, like...
Can they do it for 48 minutes? They can for short stretches.
They do it for a 7-game series.
It's almost like those short stretches don't matter, though, because it's like, all right, great. Like, you can play, like, you can play together well for a few minutes. Like, anybody can play together well for a few minutes. It's like you've got to, you've got to piece that together for a 48-minute game. And if you can't do that, then because like there's always going to be an ebb and flow within a game, and like if you're like if you can't consistently keep it high, then you're not a good unit. You're not a, you know what I mean? Like that, then like that, you're just not good at that point.
That's true. You're not good if you can't play good basketball.
That's what I'm saying. Like, 40 minutes. But you can have good stretches, but you're not a good team if you can't put it together. So,
well, this goes into the theory that when the playoffs roll around and it's all about winning, it's not about individual stats anymore. It's easier to do that. It's easier to play more freely because you know that there's like a loss. They could go 0-4 on this trip, and we'll all lose our minds. But they go 0-4, and it won't matter necessarily because they're still going to be the fifth seed. They're still going to face Philly, probably.
Yeah.
They'll have a decent shot at getting out of the first round. That's a good matchup for them. And no matter what happens, even if they go on a run or if they almost lose out, they still have to go on the road to face Milwaukee and Toronto if they get that far. So losses now don't matter. But losses in the playoffs, when it's a 7-game series and you lose a game, you're like, ah, shit. Then the urgency kicks in. Theoretically, the urgency kicks in. And that's why people like Doc Rivers said, when the playoffs come around, it gets easier to put individual stuff aside. Because you have no choice anymore. Right now, they still have a choice, and in the playoffs, they kind of don't. Well, they do, but it'll just mean like a very quick exit.
Yep.
All right. I just wonder if they can win on the road, period, against good teams.
Yeah.
Like, they couldn't do that last postseason. Obviously, you get Kyrie in the fold now to help on that front, but I think they're over 2-10 against 500 and over teams this year on the road. Like, that's where, you know, these regular season games don't matter, but, like, yeah, it's like...
And one of those wins was OKC, where they had to rally back on, like, 20 down.
Yep.
Yeah.
So...
But the other win was Philly.
Right.
Right. Well, yeah, because they just don't lose to Philly. Right.
So I want to see a non-Philly road win.
That would be nice.
That's the end of this trip.
Well, we'll see. They've got four chances to get a non-Philly road win on this trip.
Lakers don't count.
Yeah, Lakers definitely don't count.
Starting with Golden State. If they can beat Golden State, then boy, that narrative changes a lot. But we'll see. All right, that's it. Hope you've enjoyed our little car ride conversation. This is a great use of our time because it's late, man. I don't know what the... So everybody, thanks for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. This has been the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.